Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's political podcast. I'm Laura Prendergast and I'm now joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So James, today Nigel Lawson's called for Philip Hammond to be sacked. Why is that?
Because Nigel Lawson thinks that Philip Hammond, or accused Philip Hammond of trying to kind of undermine the Brexit process, saying that this lack of preparation for no deal was weakening the UK's negotiating position. And I think this is quite unprecedented. I was trying to think, I cannot remember a previous example of a former Chancellor of the same party calling for his successor to be sacked. And I think it does show how, not only how toxic this argument about Brexit is becoming in the Tory party, but also how Philip Hammond is enraging people. I think one other thing that is worth noting is this isn't a simple Remain Brexit divide in the cabinet. There are several cabinet ministers who voted to remain and are still not convinced whether Brexit is a good idea or not, who find Hammond's behaviour on the no deal point perplexing. That they say, look, you know, when Philip Hammond was a businessman, he never would have gone into a negotiation unable to walk away. Why is he happy to go in unable to walk away? And I think there does seem to be a sense that Philip Hammond fears that if there is any no deal option created, it'll be taken. And he'd rather that the UK just didn't take that option because he thinks it will be such a bad thing. I think that is the recipe for a very, very bad deal indeed.
And it's also an odd thing to do because we mentioned it yesterday, we saw how George Osborne during the EU referendum campaign did not want Leave to win. And they made it so that there was no plan if Brexit happened, because that in a way would almost validate it as an option. And that has been under heavy fire. So it's quite odd that Philip Hammond now wants to take the same route, given that we know how that turned out for George Osborne.
Talking about Brexit, Michael Barney and David Davis have also held another press conference today. Have you made any more progress?
No, is the short answer to that question. We are stuck in this logjam, which is the EU wants the money. The UK is saying no money until we can at least talk trade. I mean, Barnier did seem to suggest in this press conference, he did seem to confirm the press reports that Barnier himself is slightly frustrated by his own mandate, the fact that he cannot do all this. I think that you can see the UK regards the money as its biggest point of leverage, and it isn't going to give that money up without at least some sense of what the future deal is going to be. I think in government they hope that May's kind of personal intervention at the October EU Council can enable some more progress to be made on this by December. But I think at the moment you see the kind of two negotiating mandates clashing. And I think what the UK side feel is that they moved quite a lot in the Florence speech in terms of what they are essentially accepting. And that now they need to see the EU move. But the EU, which obviously needs all 27 countries to agree, doesn't want to move.
Katie, do you think we're going to see any more progress before December?
I think actually a lot of people in Whitehall would just be quite happy if we do see progress in December, let alone before then. I mean, Barnier has suggested it was quite probably a pessimistic performance from him. Maybe not pessimistic, severe, don't want to be a, you know. And he was quite grumpy about a few things. He said that it was deeply concerning that no more progress would be made in the Brexit bill. But he did try and end on a lighter note when he said that he still hoped that in 2 months' time, so the next meeting of the EU Council, so that's December, they would be able to make this progress. But the problem was when he talked about how they were going to get there, he said that last time he'd been at this conference, he'd been asked what concessions the EU would make. Wasn't it time they started to make concessions? And he said this wasn't about making concessions because you just can't make concessions on the rights of EU nationals, Irish peace process, or the Brexit bill, which begins to make you wonder how exactly are they going to give way.
And what's Labour's response been?
Labour have suggested, I think Keir Starmer today has said that what David Davis and his team need to do is demand emergency talks with Brussels to try and break this deadlock. I think it's a curious demand because we did see a few months ago that the UK side were quite keen to increase the frequency of talks, and Brussels just didn't want that to happen. And I think probably around that time, Labour pointed out that this was an unrealistic demand. So,
I think that one of the other things that is the Germans currently don't have a government, so it is unrealistic, I think, to expect a kind of German holding pattern to say, "Oh, well, let's make a breakthrough here." You know, they're obviously going to wait for a new government to work out what they want to do. So that's the other problem. I think the other bigger issue for the UK is, the UK still doesn't know when it moves on to trade what kind of relationship it wants with the EU. And that, you know, look, in a way, the UK should be using this time to work out the internal answer to that question. I mean, this whole Philip Hammond row shows that far too many people in the UK government are still concentrating their time and energy on the internal UK negotiation rather than the external negotiation with the EU27.
Is there any sense of what sort of thing they might be looking at?
Well, I think we are back to our old friends, EEA minus and CETA plus. And you know, it is going to end up being somewhere between those two positions. Theresa May keeps saying, oh, I want a bespoke deal. But even when you buy a bespoke suit, which I sadly have been able to do, hint to the editor. You do need to tell the tailor what style you want to start from. And I think that's what the UK at least has to get to.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Katie. And just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called Coffee House Shots. Just a reminder that we've got a special subscription offer to The Spectator. If you get 12 issues for just £12, which includes full access to all of our website and apps, it now also comes with a moleskin notebook worth £20. To get this, just go to spectator.co.uk/podoffer.